Hey guys, welcome back to the Breaking Western podcast. We are finally to the season finale for season one. It's been all makers.
That's my trumpet announcement.
Yeah, it is that exciting though. We've had an entire season of some really incredible people and we are leaving it off with possibly, like, you know, at the end of the fireworks show where there's just a finale of like, pew, 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 you like, that's where we're at.
You think it was done? Because they were like, that one was cool. Wait, that was really cool. That was awesome. Pauses.
This is what the whole small town drank all the beer cans to afford. That's where we're at right now. We are here today to talk to none other than Saddle Trump. Brianne, how the hell are you?
I am good. I'm good on this fine Tuesday afternoon. Thank you.
Seriously. If they knew what kind of business hours we kept, they would be shocked.
Unorthodox is a nice way to sum that up.
So, Brianne, you've been doing this whole leather working, wardrobe design. Like, you kind of have your hand in a little bit of this, a little bit of that. It's
been killing the game for years.
Killing the game. I would say Western fashion industry, I know that has like some connotation to it, but for the most part, you are a shining light in the Western fashion industry.
Thank you.
How many years has it been? Like, when did you get your start and how the hell did you get your name?
Oh God. This is a three-parter, I guess. So I'm coming up on my fourth year. July 8th will be year four of the anniversary that I quit my corporate job, is pretty wild because, I mean, especially in hindsight now, I'm like, wow, I really had no fucking clue what I was doing. You know, I'm not one for like really a ton of foresight. Like, I've just never been that way. And I've dated some guys that really fucking bothers. We're like, what's your 5-year plan? I'm like, I don't know. I'm looking at more of like a 5-week plan. I don't, you know, I'm just trying to make it through this week. So just like, lay off me. I don't know what I'm doing, but I haven't failed yet. So just please get out of my face.
Hop off my dick.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I just, you know, I think everybody's got their own special way of, you know, conducting themselves. And you don't even necessarily know how that's going to be, especially when it's all of a sudden there's nobody else to tell you what to do. Like, I was just like on my own and you're like, what the fuck do I do with my hands? Oh yeah, now I have to make money somehow, like figure that out. But anyway, so yeah, 4 years and I started doing leather. So my dad, I guess I'm technically a second generation leather worker. And I started with my dad. He had a leather company. And growing up, he was my 4-H teacher, so I started doing leather in, like, second grade, but, you know, that's very, very fucking primitive, and I ultimately, like, left off probably around fourth grade, so really, when I decided to, like, jump back into this and was like, you know what, fuck it, I'm just gonna quit this really solid career I have going, and I think I'm gonna start making leather work. I was 32 at their time, yeah, 32, and I had the fourth grade tooling level. it's hilarious. Looking back, I'm just like, man, you want to talk about just like brazen, just confidence. And that's what you need. Like, the skill will come, I guess. If you know, I know what my natural abilities are. Like, I've always been very artistic, so I wasn't worried about that. I don't know why I wasn't worried about that. I definitely should have been. But that was just like, didn't seem to be like a big concern. Like the things that didn't concern me at the time, or, you know, I mean, but that's great because I never would have made it as far as I have if I was so worried about that stuff, because I don't even think I would have started had I really taken all the important things very seriously.
But I love that though. There's something so important about that brazen confidence where you're just like, I'm gonna do this. Yeah. It's like, what is that? Kevin Costner? In The Sandlot, you said that. I was like, God, the Iowa girl in me is screaming at, like, if you build it, they will come.
Oh, yeah, the fucking cornfield movie. Yeah,
which is so true, though.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you just have to take a leap, you know what I mean? Like, I tried to be as smart about it. Like, I mean, I have a pretty sundry work history, but I had saved up a bunch of money. Like, I'm terrified of debt. There are certain things that I just will not do. Like, I'm a pretty risk-averse person, and obviously quitting a career to do this sort of thing is where you're like, wow, that is textbook risk. You're like, that's funny. But, you know, I was just like, I don't want to be in debt. Like, I had the best case scenario. I had a setup to where Zach was like, that's also hilarious because, I mean, we hadn't even dated, like, a full year, and I was like, hey.
You know he's a keeper when.
Oh, shit. Yeah, I was like, okay, I know you're super into me, so just remember that when I tell you. I'm about to quit my job and move in with you. You're not going to charge me rent, and you're going to let me incubate a business out of your house.
Incredible. Well, so then yeah. What was so different about this? If you're someone who really doesn't like risk, like what was it about this idea of doing leather work or pursuing creative work that really pushed you over the edge and made you take that leap?
I felt like I was working all these jobs. Like, I'd done everything from, like, you know, catering and convention services manager, like from hospitality arena to like environmental science. I was working for an oil and gas company doing air compliance when I quit, and I just didn't like these jobs. Like, nothing felt like a long-term thing. I always knew that I would kind of be like, yeah, I mean, this is okay for now, but eventually I'm probably gonna like quit this and try something else. Nothing felt right, and I really like creating, like, with my hands. I like sewing, like, I like making clothing, and my dad's always been self-employed. Like, he's a horseshoer, a musician, an entrepreneur in terms of like kind of inventing like equine related stuff, but also having his leather business. So I've definitely had a really good example of somebody who I think, and I always kind of, I don't want to say I like made fun of it, but I always kind of discounted it growing up because I just wanted to have a dad like all the other kids' dads.
Mm-hmm.
Like somebody who didn't walk into the fucking gym on, like, you know, in the middle of my volleyball game with spurs on and just like bring the whole thing to the hall, you know?
Like carrying like hoof bracelets. Like, listen, this will stop your horse from pawing who wants one.
Yeah, jangling. And so, you know, and I had a mom who was very like, you need to get a college education, you need to do this. So I did have really good female role models, like women that are very accomplished. And we're pushing me to at least, like, get that. Like, get your college degree and then at least, like, build a body of work so that I'm grateful for that because if this ever fails or if I decide I don't want to do this anymore, I've got something to fall back on, you know, like a pretty extensive resume that I can always pull out. But anyway, so, yeah, I just, you know, I think just watching my dad, and he always told me, he's like, don't be afraid to be your own boss. And I was kind of like, yeah, yeah, Justin, like, you know, but I mean, later on in life, I was like, God damn, this guy was fucking right. I mean, I'm like, this guy has been right so many fucking times in my life.
That's always, you know, that's like, a hard pill to swallow.
Yeah.
I don't always love admitting it, but most of the times, Justin is right.
So we've all, you know, in the industry, like, heard you by now, heard who you are, but how did your brand come about, and how was, like, your product born?
I feel like I didn't answer. We'll kind of roll this one into this question, like, how did the brand come about? I mean, I'll be the first to say I'm just not a very deliberate and calculating person with this stuff, so all I've done is just be myself. And, you know, I think especially when you first kind of come into this and you are, I didn't even know. Like, I didn't even realize that I would be automatically kind of typecast into Western industry, which, I mean, that's not a problem. It's leather work, so it is kind of inherently Western. But I just really didn't know that I would be kind of, like, the oddball black sheep, which is, I mean, I'm not that crazy, but by Western industry standards, people are like, oh, God damn, who's that weirdo, you know?
You're like, listen, I'm one of you.
Yeah, you're like, no. So... I don't even know, like, the brand itself has just kind of been me being myself, where initially I kind of tried to keep it, like, you know, have a classy, you know, they're like, oh, you set your aesthetic for your grid and, you know, polish and use the same fucking preset for your whatever, your bullshit. And I'm like, oh my God, this is so fucking boring. And it's just bullshit. This is not who people really are. And so And initially, I even was like, I mean, I have two Instagram accounts, so I was like, okay, one for personal stuff, and then this one's just going to be straight business. Well, straight business is really fucking boring. And like, it is. People love, like, the, when I get into, like, shit, and just, like, they're like, Jesus Christ, this girl is a hot mess. Like, they're just like, you know what? I'm going to get some earrings from her. Because I think people are so afraid of, like, being themselves. You know what I mean? And for fear of people being like, oh, she's kind of messy. And you're like, oh, bitch, don't act like you're fucking better than this, okay? Like, you're afraid to be who you are, like, who you truly are, for fear that people are going to talk shit about you.
That's so you, so, Brianne. Yeah. That's so you. Because I feel like you have, just being a daily story watcher, you've been through some shit. And you've been through some people spewing some shit. And just, like, really coming down on you as being this... I mean, you can't look at your brand and not see how hardworking you are. But obviously, we don't all just take, like, pictures of ourselves as we're, like, cleaning our bathroom or something. Like, we capture the fun shit. And so people seem to think that it's, like, a party all the time.
Yeah, you're just, like, this fun, carefree person on Instagram who makes earrings while listening to podcasts. But there's so much more that goes into it.
Yeah. Oh, there's definitely, like, a perception, I think, where people, they're like, oh, she just, I think... I am kind of like your token, like, party girl or whatever. Mm. And so you kind of, it is a weird thing when you meet people and they're like, oh, I just want to party with you. And I'm like, honestly, I'm not that fucking cool.
You see what I want you to see.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's definitely a weird kind of balance. But yeah, I mean, you're not going to make everybody happy. You're definitely not going to be, you know, their cup of tea. And for everybody, like, you're just not. But if you're really true to yourself, and I mean, I fucking hate to use the word authentic, but if you're just being yourself, you don't have to talk about authenticity. It just is, and people pick up on that. But that's more likely to endear people to you for a longer term. You know, they're fucking invested in your journey. Mm-hmm. Really, I mean, yeah. Ugh, I sound like a Hobby song.
I mean. Angela and I keep coming back to that word, though, throughout this whole season. Like, for all of the makers that we've talked to, authenticity really is a buzzword, but it is one that we're coming back to over and over again because, like, for lack of anything better, you know, that is you. Somebody looks at, you know, the earrings you make or your bolos or any of your tooled leather, or they see a jumpsuit and they're like, oh, boom. Saddle Tramp, which, again, like, difference between, you know, Brianne and Saddle Tramp, but like, I don't know. So when we talk about that kind of authenticity, how was this product born and, like, set apart from everyone else? Because I think anybody who follows you has seen the numerous people over the years who have tried to replicate your work but unsuccessfully.
I mean, even if it's like, it's not like what I did, what I started was rocket science, but, you know, but that's just it. Like, it doesn't have to fucking be rocket science. I wanted to start something that was like, so here's the deal. It started, like, when I decided I was going to quit my job and just really make a run for it, and I think, you know, how you said, like, what was so different about starting your own business versus any other risk, you know, like, I'm afraid of heights, I don't like steep shit, like, I don't love swimming in deep water, like, I'm kind of a wuss.
Same.
But, you know, I just really, it was just something I was never going to shut up about it, and I was just like, I either have to try this and be glad that I took that chance, and I can always go back to this if this doesn't work out, but that's kind of how it started. Okay, and then we were talking about, so I was like, slowly started to accumulate, like, plan my exit strategy, really. I was buying, like, big, you know, I bought, like, an industrial machine, like, you know, all the big purchases while I was still getting a monthly paycheck. While I'm still, like, oh, I could fucking afford it. And so I had the machine, and, like, I hadn't really sewn. Like, Dad had kind of taught me how to do things where you didn't really require a sewing machine, so, you know, if I wanted to make, like, a coin purse, it was going to have, like, a double loop lace, you know, like, that kind of classic old school, or, like, a buck stitching, stuff like that, which I love. But I actually started Saddle Tramp, like, 2010. I started making purses. So none of it was supposed to be tooled. And that was kind of when I was, like, you know, decided to crack back out in 2006. 16, I was like, I'm going to make purses. Like, that was just kind of, you know, what I was going to do. Just start kind of doing what I had done before, but different, better, you know. And then I got this brand new, like, fucking $2,000 paperweight, you know, sewing machine that is just like, you know, like American steel. You know,
you're like, I tool leather now.
Broke it. I broke it like the first day I put the wrong needle in the fucking thing. Cause I don't know. I mean, again, it was like blind leading the blind. I didn't have my dad there to kind of like show me the ropes on how to do this. I was just like, you know, showing myself around and like successfully fucking up everything I took. So I put the wrong needle. Like, it's amazing how sensitive these like huge machines are. But I put a burr in the like the crossbar, whatever the fuck they call it. Mm-hmm. And then so then I'm like, fuck, who am I gonna get to fix this thing? It was just like a complete shit show. But because of that, it made me have to start tooling again, and I had to figure out how to make a living. And, you know, in the interim of getting this machine fixed, I had to figure out, like, to get people to buy something that didn't require sewing that I could tool and put together. So I started making belt buckles and just kind of doing custom belt buckles and, like, you know, selling them for a fucking song. Like, I was putting in a lot of work to these things, and I was like, $60, you know, after, like, 12 hours of labor.
I think as creatives, it's so hard to explain to people the value of your time. Mm-hmm. And yeah, not just the time that goes into making a single product, but all of the thousands of hours that went mm-hmm. into honing that skill that you're then selling.
To getting to
selling.
The place where you could make that product. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And then with, like, custom, like, also, you know, and I just never, I mean, you would lose, I'm kind of a weirdo. Like, if you saw how I conducted myself in my everyday life, I'm definitely, like, monkey hate clean, monkey hate structure. Like, I hate all things. Like, I'm very fucking type B and kind of, I'm very messy creative, but I get super fucking anal when it comes to the artistic side of things. And when somebody, you know, puts a deposit down for a custom, I can't even tell you, like, I mean, for the first, I've figured out how to kind of mitigate it. It shit I had never experienced before, but like, you don't realize how stressful it is and how it kind of starts to manifest itself in your physical person. Mm. Like, I was getting like full body fucking stress rashes. Like, wondering if, like, kind of, you know, in this process of, like, emailing back and forth to this person, like, trying to get in their head, and I'm not charging them for this time and communication. Mm-hmm. So that's part of it, you know. Mm-hmm. And then just worried about if they're going to like it. Because, I mean, I have had times where, I mean, that's a whole other story. And this chick was, I got rolled by, like, a junior in high school sociopath who was trying to get a woman.
Side note.
It was such a fucking dumpster fire, and that bitch gave me like a full body stress rash. I had like fucking blisters like covering my thighs. I'm not Jesus. That kind of person. I was like, what's happening?
What is
and
that?
I was just like, oh my god, can you give up this leather thing already? I'm like, no. You know, it's so stressful. He was just like, what have I, you know, like thrown my lot in with? Like,
What are anyway, some ways that you found to, like, manage that, though? Like, do you just not fuck with that kind of person? Do you just step away when it starts getting crazy? Like, what is your...
Well, you know, I have to say I've been really lucky. Like, that was a unique circumstance, and I can definitely kind of see that coming when it, you know, just, like, have simple interactions. I also just kind of, like, I don't like to do customs. Like, I have a couple, that I have, like, waiting right now, but... it's not worth it for me mm-hmm. at this point in time, like, in terms of stress, and then, like, you know, just the money that I can make, like, I would rather do something else, like, I, you know, that's how I shifted into making earrings, and just everything that I'm making now, because I was like, I was gonna go fucking broke, seriously, the first full year that I was in business, I made $13,000, that's the gross, or right. net, mm-hmm. or whatever, I don't even know, but you know what I mean, before costs, like, mm-hmm. that's not even profit. Right. And it was, like, the most stressful year of my life, just, and it was hard work. Like, you have to put in a lot of time and effort into custom. It was all custom. And so I was like, fuck this. Like, you know, yes, I love the creative side of this, but there's got to be a better way. And also, this is not sustainable. I am not in this for my fucking health, and I'm damn sure, like, this is taking me down slowly anyway. You know, but if you can't afford to live, like, what's the fucking point? going. And that was when I was kind of like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to start making things that I think would take. And I was also, I had accrued a bit of a following then. And that's what you need. Because, you know, you can be making all the raddest shit, but if nobody sees it and you can't hit the right channels of right. kind of getting it out there in Instagram, whatever, then it's still worthless.
Right.
But that's how kind of the transition, and it went really well. And then I landed myself in the middle of some Miranda Lambert drama, and then shit really blew up. And then,
you know, Brianna, I was going to ask you, like, what shifted for you there? You know, like, is there a moment where you could think of where you started getting a lot more attention or where your brand really took off? And I think you might have answered it.
Yeah, that was it. Like, I definitely, like, okay, I had this really cool, job with a guy who worked at Yeti. You know, people were starting to find me, but that was just like, oh my god, like fucking a flame on a kerosene rag. It was like, you know, which was also fucking terrifying, because then that's, I mean, truly, like, everybody who's like ever talked shit about me to me, like, the internet can be a very awful place. But so, you know, when you first, I think that's in terms of mitigating stress, it just took me getting thick skin about it and being like, these people don't even fucking know, like, who cares what they say? Who fucking gives a shit, you know? And so I really don't, like, I don't know what people could say to me or about me right now that would, like, you know, I don't know,
round me up. Really, I think that makes, like, that made all the difference in that situation, like, you walking away from that relatively unscathed in the way that, like, accrued an even bigger following. You've been named, like, one of the top influencers in the Western industry. Like, your name comes up, and that's not the first thing people think of. And that...
For the most part.
You know? For the most part. I mean, Miranda might disagree, but...
Yeah. I feel like the OGs, like, that have been along for the ride, like, since that time period, like, they still know, and it's kind of like, oh, remember when we first met? But other than that, people don't, like, they associate, like, my work, my style, that's what they associate when they hear Saddle Tramp. So I like that. It makes me feel much better about things.
It's amazing, truly.
Yeah. Okay, so as you're going through and obviously learning a lot as you go through some of these, dare we say, scandals.
Navigating some of those scary deep waters that you don't like.
Some of the waters.
Just a little choppy.
What has been kind of the biggest learning curve that you've had as you've navigated some of this where you're like, okay, note for next time?
I don't know. I mean, just not letting things freak me out. Like, I get stressed about, especially, you know, I was stressed when I had like a couple customs and nothing coming through my website retail wise. And then it flip flops because now you have, you know, at any given time, like 200 to 500 people who are waiting on orders, and it's still just me because I'm a stubborn asshole.
I wish you could have seen all of the chins that Angela and I got when you said 200 to 500 casual. We're like, what?
Yeah, it's scary. I mean, it feels great that people want your stuff, but you're also just like, you know, I honestly don't know. That's like a question. I'm like, I don't know. It's all been like little baby. And maybe it doesn't feel like there's one big thing because it's all been like these, you know, it's like a slow burn of like little lessons, you know, weekly, daily sometimes. I mean, yeah. But that was it. I think for me, largely, it's just like, don't freak out about it. People are super understanding. I think that's been one of the biggest positive benefits of being so open with who I am, like what I'm doing, like day to day. Is it people are a lot more, they're like, oh yeah, this is not Amazon Prime, and this is one person in her fucking basement giving up good daylight hours so she can cut a shitload of fringe, okay?
This is not 2-day shipping.
Lesson.
<Yeah. laughs> I mean, sometimes it is, but honestly, it's just like, I mean, it depends, and it goes, you know, peaks and waves. Like, last year was, like, terrifying, the amount of business I did. I mean, it's just been a very... like it was huge, and I was like, okay, I just want to figure out a way to like scale this back, because I'm not trying to be like make all the money and like be fucking famous. I just want something that's manageable where I can still like, you know, afford all the things I like to do and not like be a pile of fucking stress.
Yeah that's a struggle.
I think that is really important what you said, and that it's not always like these big teaching or learning moments, or there won't always be these huge milestones, but it's important every once in a while to look back and just take into account everything that you've picked up along the way that's brought you to the moment that you're in and yeah, made you who you are.
If anything, it's kind of builds confidence to where you're like, okay, even though I'm going to be, you know, every day it's a new horizon of things that I've not encountered before, but just having the confidence to be like, okay, I've definitely been in a situation prior to this where I wasn't 100% comfortable whatsoever. You know, I was kind of freaking out again, like, fuck. But, you now know that you're like, okay, I did that, and you know what? We're just going to give it our all and do the best that we can as a fucking, people have to understand you're fucking human, and you're doing the best you can, and that's all we can do right now, and so just go. You know, you just have to keep going forward.
Totally. And I think, too, that people need to just, like, worry about something else. Like, if you order a custom piece, like, just go on with your life, and it, when it gets there, it's going to be the best fucking day of your life.
So. And again, it's also not Amazon Prime. It's a real person on the other side of this,
yeah,
making mm-hmm. something that has their own, you know, personal take on what you said, and their own style, and their own pace. And so while you had an image in your head, maybe that's not what you get, but that's what it right. is.
What it is.
Dude, and that was that one fucking wallet that I made. Because this is also what I also, when people start sending me photos of things other makers have made, I'm like, okay, this is already taking a turn. I know exactly what you're trying to fucking do, and we're not doing this. But that's what she was. She was sending me pictures of this other maker's stuff. I'm thinking she wants, like, my spin on, like, this, you know, particular thing. And mm-hmm. that's what I did. She was like, God, have you ever even seen a horse together before? Like, where'd you go to business school? She was a fucking total rip. I was like, oh my, what?
Holy you know? Shit.
It was bad. It was so bizarre. She, yeah, anyway. But yeah, that was, you know, that was the lesson learned. And I'm like getting into an internet fight with a fucking 17-year-old. I'm like, damn it, what has my life been reduced to? I mean, I'm lucky because I just know it's like, it's not, it's just science. Like, those kinds of situations will come up where somebody's just like, yeah, well, I just really wanted this before blah. Like, yeah, well, I never said that, and here's your money back. Like, I don't fucking care. Bye. You know, like, I don't want you to have my stuff anyway. If this is the kind of shit you're going to pull, like a temper tantrum, like, there is no leather emergency, okay?
There is no leather emergency.
Holy fuck.
Anyway. Like,
that,
yeah.
That might be the whole quote of this entire episode. There's no leather emergency. But you have done some cool shit that's included deadlines. I'm thinking of when you did, like, the custom. It was for, like, a bridal photo shoot.
Oh, so yeah. cool.
Yeah. yeah. It turned out yeah, amazing.
Thank you. And it's, like, that's a lesson learned. You know, like, now that we're talking, I'm like, yeah, I was so awestruck that somebody on, like, a global level would want anything to do with fucking me. I'm just like, what? I'll do it for free. You know, but I mean, it's all a tax write-off, but oh my god, that was a fucking shit show. But yeah, I mean, I gave them too much creative. They don't know how to work with leather, you know what I mean? And so yeah. initially they wanted me to, like, do everything, like, cut out the pieces to all the pieces and then just send it to them to put together. But I'm like, okay, I'm pretty sure y'all make wedding dresses. And I don't even think you actually do this. I think you farm it out to, like, Singapore. Or, like, you know, casual. I'm just not, you know, these are not, like, you know,
like a bespoke gown.
Yeah. They're definitely, like, these are mass produced in a warehouse somewhere by somebody other than the designers, and that's fine, like, that's awesome, but that's not how this works. And oh god,
but it's not a maker to maker, somebody that's understanding, like,
yeah, no,
it was, firsthand, yeah, what you're doing.
Yep. Yes. I had like a good analogy on it about it. I had to, like, a girlfriend of mine, she does kind of freelance writing, and she asked me to partake in, like, an interview, and I wrote about that experience, because they're like, what's your worst experience in leather? And I was like, oh, have I got yeah, let me tell you about this time, like, but, you know, I'm just, you know, in the end, I'm super glad it's over with, and I'm glad I did it, but I would do it completely differently if I had to do it over again, just, like, keep creative control, and also, like, I think in the end, I'm like, I would be totally fine doing the work for free if I got those pieces back. Like, I just, it kind of makes me sick to my stomach knowing that they were used for this photo shoot, never to see the light of day again. Like, it's not like these people necessarily appreciate what I did, per se. You know, I put so much time and energy into, like, designing and tooling and, you know, they operate on seasons. So this was for last season. It's already come and gone. So that's history now, you know. So I don't know. Sometimes things like that, you're just like, whatever.
Anyway. Well, yeah, and as a maker, you put so much of yourself into your work that it really does feel like an extension of your being. And so to watch them walk away, you just hope, you know, it's like a... like a puppy or something. You're like, I just want it to go to a good home.
Right. Exactly, where it's loved and appreciated, maybe like framed or brought, you know, just like put a museum somewhere.
Like, just like casual.
Yeah. So, but yeah, that's funny you said. But I mean, it was such a cool thing. And I mean, I still like, I was, I think, intimidated in a weird way, because you think that, this is something also I've learned, like, you think that everybody knows what they're doing, and really, they don't. They don't. They fucking don't. The people, they have a glossy image, and they have a good marketing campaign, but I don't think anybody truly knows what the fuck they're doing.
Oh, I think that's so true. And I think as a maker, and I say this as, like, an artist, that you have this idea of what you're capable of, and then sometimes things come from outside of that, and you're like, holy fuck, like, this is the real fucking deal. Like, this is beyond where I ever thought I would be. And you get so, like, starstruck by that it just, like, overtakes you. And you're like, oh, yes, I'll do it for free, of course. Like, absolutely. Do you want me to, like, bake you a cake while I'm at it? Like, what do you need from me?
Would you like me to walk across these hot coals on my hands?
Exactly.
I'll just sign this document that promises you my firstborn child.
Here's my liver and both boobs. Like, fuck these boobs. I don't need these boobs. Like,
But I think, too, you do it for, like... it's almost like an influencer thing. Like, you do it because you know you're
like
going...
like that validation.
You're going to be part of something bigger than yourself. Maybe part of something... yeah. Like, if fucking Wrangler called. Or, if, like, you know, like, something
they
like
did.
That.
They fucking did call. And it was amazing.
Right.
Wait, what?
I was in a Wrangler catalog, and, like, that was really fucking cool. Also, can I just say that Wrangler just took it upon themselves to buy everything. They just got on my website and bought flat out.
Good for them.
Like, that just speaks volumes to me about, like, them as a company. I think that's fucking awesome.
That is what...
shout out to Wrangler.
Like, what does... yeah. What is brand integrity by definition? Who knows? But in action, that's what it is. Incredible.
Yeah. Wow. Yes.
That's really cool. That's really cool.
Yeah.
But you think of some of these things as your brand, like, okay, that's the step up. That's the influence that I want to be a part of. And so for... this is kind of like an announcement, because we haven't said this yet. But season 2 is going to be all influencers. And that's kind of...
I almost did the trumpet sound again. It was embarrassing.
we don't need
time
it.
To shout
it,
Abby.
Whoa. I just started going like... durr. I was like, no.
Back it down, girl. But I think especially in the Western industry, that almost has like a weird sensation to it. When you hear that works, you're like, where's the discount code? And like, we've all been guilty of that. But like, it gets kind of weird. Where have you seen, obviously I don't want to say used influencers, but you have, like navigated your brand in a way where your brand has influence and it has networked itself to some really big names and important people. I'm thinking of like Sterling and like, Elizabeth Cook, obviously Wrangler. I don't know who else off the top of my head, but can you talk a little bit about networking within your brand, building like these authentic relationships and how that is built like an influence for Saddle Tram?
I mean, I think my biggest, oddly enough, even though it wasn't necessarily intentional. I have to burp. Oh God. Okay. Sorry. But I think, you know, which is so hilarious that, 'cause this year I was nominated as an influencer in the Western, I was like, wait a minute, but it is a compliment, you know what I mean, that you can, people kind of do look to you, like, I don't ever want to be, you know, just straight up style, or what's she wearing, you're like, who gives a shit, that's the least interesting thing about me, quite frankly.
That's cool.
It's not that I deliberately, like, refused on principle to use influencers, but for me personally, I was like, there's got to be a different way to do this, and also, I think I've heard a lot of, I don't want to say, like, horror stories, but, like, I think, because oftentimes they're paying these influencers, on top of giving them free merchandise to promote, they're also paying them, and it is so hard to monetize time and you know, engagement, and then, like, to feel like you're getting your money's worth. And honestly, this is kind of a tangent, but, like, the people, like, Elizabeth Cook, I feel like, has, she's done incredible things for my business, but also, like, it wasn't just, like, this, like, you know, influencer relationship, like, she truly, like, we became, like, really good friends, you know, and that's, like, a genuine connection, sincere, like, she truly likes my stuff, and she's not promoting it just because there's some kind of contract here, you know, an exchange. Because I will say, like, a lot, like, I don't send shit to influencers, and it's not because I'm just like, well, if you, you know what, you want something, go buy it. Like, Shaylee Ham from West Desperado, like, she just went and bought shit herself, and she'll, like, wear it in photos. Aww. And it's, like, the night, I'm like, thank you, that's fucking awesome. And I'm not saying everybody has to wear it, but, like, you know, I have to work hard for this stuff to make it and then put it out into the world. And I've honestly seen, like, it is very rare that you see a significant return on any kinds of actions like that. It's very rare that, like, you see, like, oh my god, so and so wore my stuff and I just sold, like, thousands of dollars in these areas. It doesn't fucking happen like that, you know. Yeah, and I think that's a misconception. Maybe I don't know, maybe I'm the only one that feels that way, but
No, I really think, though, that that is something important to consider, that, like, more than a product, this is truly about a relationship, not just between you and the person wearing it, but between the person wearing it and the product itself, because
Do they actually give a shit about it, or are they just wearing this because someone, they're pimping it?
You know, exactly. What I mean? Is this just for, like, a cute photo, or is it because, like, this is something I really enjoy wearing, and I feel like myself when I wear it, and I feel like this represents me, and somebody looks at it, and they're like, whoa, that's so well, you.
And I've gotten, like, some comment. I don't know. I don't want to, you know, I don't want this to come off as conceited, but I definitely, I think they're, like, just for people where I'll mention something, because I don't promote things because I'm told to. I promote what I like, what I find interesting, what I think is cool, and it's not very frequent. So when I do, it, like, they call it, they're like, the Saddle Tramp effect, and it's just, everybody's like, hi, Saddle Tramp Army.
you know, we did make one of our very best friends by... She was wearing Saddle Tramp earrings, and she was bartending at our favorite bar, which obviously we already would have been friends with her. But she was also wearing royal blue, the tassel earrings. We're like, Renee, are those Saddle Tramp brand? Because if they're a knockoff, like, we will never come here again.
We're done.
And she's like, no, I fucking love Rianne. And we're like, oh my god, like, did we just become best friends? And we had touched on this with Becca too last week, that when you see somebody wearing, like, in her case, an inappropriate trucker hat, like, big girl, nice bush, you know that person is out for a good fucking time. And I feel like,
and
Sam,
they're quality human and they got nothing to hide.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like the same thing with your brand, that if they're wearing it, they are a certain breed of individual.
They're not just wearing it, they are repping it. They are wearing the brand.
But it really is that way. I think, honestly, and it's another comment that I get pretty frequently. They're like, people will be like, honestly, I love your stuff, but, like, I'm buying this stuff because I really like you. I'm like, thank you. I mean, it's fucking, it means a lot to me, and I like that, but it's not what I'm gunning for. You know, I'm not trying to, like, play to people's emotions just so I can make a profit.
We're very vocal about this, so I don't feel like we even have to rehash, like, the whole Sherry deal and everything here. And we have talked about some very controversial issues this season of, like, people having designs stolen,
just
sent to China.
Intellectual property, plagiarism.
It happens
all the time.
Yes, it happens a lot, and for the most,
and honestly too, to the point that in the Western industry we don't really bat an eye at it, because you see a reproduction and you say, you're like, something immediately in your brain says, oh, that must be based on so-and-so's work, but then you see people marketing it and buying it anyways.
So I, you know, I would say that I am a friend of Fallon's, and when I saw that ranch dressing had your, I'm just gonna say your earrings, because we all knew when we saw it, I was sick to my stomach. And especially because, I don't know if people knew at that time, but we already had you, like, on booked for the podcast. And I'm like,
Yes.
And how I'm like, how the fuck do we do this? Because I'm like, she's in the wrong. And I'm not a person that's going to be like, oh, well, she's my friend, so it's okay. Like you said, it's a small industry. Who knows what all of the backstory was there. But I feel like they did the right thing. Ranch Dressing.
Yeah, oh, they did.
Pulled.
They could have been total assholes. Yes. Too. They could have been like, because they're big. I could have just been steamrolled. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But they did the right thing. Like, I was really appreciative of that. Yeah. I don't care. I'm just like giving them benefit of the doubt. I don't care what the real story is. Yeah. They did the right thing. And that means a lot to me.
And is that the first time that you've had that happen where they do the right thing? Because I feel like you've had a lot of the opposite.
Well, I think typically people aren't, well, the first time it happened was with Lil B's. So obviously, like, I really.
Oh, interesting. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, that's how I became such good friends with Kelly.
Oh, I love that. That's so great. Because you said that and I was like, aren't they friends? Is this how they're friends?
Like, one of my best friends. And it was because somebody. But this is how, like, honestly, I really, like, I don't even want to call him, like, my followers, but somebody called him the Trampede, and I was like, yeah, that's probably
the more fun. I was just thinking that. I was like, I feel like your followers have something to do with that, and if Beyonce gets the Beehive, and we have, like, a number of these things, like, Gaga has her, what are they, little monsters, like, Brand surely has to have something. The Trampede, there it is. Incredible.
Yeah, and that's exactly, like, they see this shit before I do, because I can't spend my time on the internet, like, looking for people trying to, you know, undercut me. And, I mean, I care very much, but my time is better spent. Kelly was, and it's funny, because without fail, the people are like, oh, did you see this? And I'm like, $5 says if, I was like, no, but $5 says if I go to their profile, they're fucking following me. And for sure, they are. Like, they're it's not original. They're just following me for ideas. And it's been a couple of different leather workers. And I'm like, oh, I will spend all the time in the world being petty and getting even with you right now. It's like, sure, maybe they posted the earrings to, like, their professional account, but these days everybody has two, and I'm like, all right, what's the fucking personal? And I bet they're following me, too. And I'm like, no, you no longer get a front seat to this show. Just like, block, 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 block.
Revoked.
And, you know, yeah, but depending on how egregious it is, then I call them out. Because there are that one gal, like, up in Bozeman, and she started recreating, she was following me, and then she started making the exact same fucking earrings. Like, that's okay and permissible on principle. And I'm like, you would be so fucking pissed. Also, then she had the balls, because this was kind of like through the grapevine, and I was being sent screenshots of this conversation. And she was like, well, I do my best to keep my designs original. And I'm also like, bullshit, because I also own that Al Stolman pattern book, and I know exactly where your fucking designs are coming from. To Kelly, and then my followers saw it and were like, what people don't understand is, like, these boutiques aren't the ones making it, they're getting it from somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And Kelly, she could have been a dick about it, because Kelly at the time had, like, you know, 70 some thousand followers and was, like, successful, and in the end, like, it really wouldn't have affected her at all, you know. But she didn't, she messaged me directly, like, I told her kind of what was going on, and she was like, oh, fuck that, I'm pulling the whole thing. And then she just ordered a bunch of stuff for me, because I can't wholesale, you know what I mean? That's also kind of unfortunate, but, like, I can't keep up with retail, like, orders that come through my website, and then also, like, facilitate wholesale. Also, I don't fucking want to, because I don't want to make the shit I'm making for half the price for anybody.
Right,
you
know, I'm like, no, if you want this shit, you could get it from one place, and that's my website. Like, that's how I like this. Sorry.
No, don't apologize, because I think you're the first person that we've talked to who has had a good experience.
Like, I'm lucky, because I know a couple of women, like Canty Boots, she's one of them, who gets her shit ripped off all the fucking time.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing people don't realize is that, you know, it's very expensive to, like, hit somebody with a cease and desist. That is a $500 check right there, and that letter may not do the trick. Then you have to, like, what, you're gonna just roll over and pretend like that didn't happen? Like, no, you're gonna fucking take them to court and make them stop. But that's just one design. Like, then, you know, it's just like, it's here, it's here, it's here. And so what I've found, instead of, like, going through this behind-the-scenes channels, I'm like, okay, yeah, you know what you're doing is wrong, and if you want to fucking play this game, I'm going to drag you in court opinion, the public opinion, and then, you know, let you deal with the fallout, because this is horseshit, and I have the receipts, you know?
Yeah,
yeah.
So. Well, I think a lot of people, like you said, a lot of people just don't have the time to troll the internet, and so a lot of makers don't even know what other makers are doing. And
yeah, it gets
a lot
of their attention by somebody else.
Right. Mm-hmm. So a lot of boutique owners don't even know what other makers are doing. Everybody's kind of in their own lane for the most part.
Yeah.
Of course, there's
yeah.
shit trolls, but for the most part, everybody's in their own lane. And so when you
yeah.
see something like that, it's just admirable that, you know, like Kelly did, like Ranch Dressin did, like you just
yeah.
go, oh, fuck, we messed up. Like,
yeah.
this is what you do
yeah.
to make it right. And we all move on and party from there.
Yeah, exactly.
So
well, and I think people really appreciate that level of integrity. Like, your followers see that. Ever. They see you doing the right thing after, you know, like, a misunderstanding or whatever. And, I mean, that goes a long way. Like, integrity is something that is slightly more rare these days, I feel like, because people are so obsessed with making a buck. But I don't know, you know, Kelly's not, like, a maker, but she is a really successful boutique owner. And, like, the volume she does... I don't want to speak for her. I know the numbers. And I was like, are you fist-fucking me? Like, that is insane. But that's how, you know, they turn a profit. They have to turn a higher volume to make
mm-hmm.
a heavy profit. So,
for sure.
Anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's where, you know, it's, I think,
mm-hmm.
easier for boutiques to engage with,
like,
influencers.
I am pretty passionate about this subject when it comes down to it.
We love it.
No, we love it. We are here for it 100%. And really, like, honestly, what a great thing for all of us to just sit with and think on moving forward, this idea of integrity, like, in everything
yeah.
that you do, whether you're a creative, whether you're just, you know, a human
a
being,
person.
to yeah. always be mindful of that and just, like, how you're navigating the world and just, like, know who you are, stick to that,
mm-hmm.
and live it
yeah.
fully and unapologetically. And I think you're a great example of that. So,
yeah,
we were so, so, so stoked to talk with you today for
yes.
all those reasons.
The
perfect
finale to a
beautiful.
Season
beautiful.
Of
beautiful.
Makers.
Badass.
Hey, can I tell you guys how
yeah,
I came across my business name, though? I really wanted to answer this.
Oh,
oh
yeah.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Go
like
for it.
Years ago.
Oh, my gosh, yes. Tell us. Tell us.
This is good, and it's totally mortifying. When I first started my business, my dad's like, you got to make purses. Women love their accessories. They will just keep buying purses. I was like, all right, I'm going to make some purses. But, you know, you're like, what am I going to call this thing? And I don't... Okay, so I really like salt. I love salt things.
Salt?
I'm a salt bee. And I don't even know, like, what really was the secondary component of this and why I came to this conclusion and was like, oh, my God, this is it. But I was dating this guy at the time. Thank God he had the proverbial balls. It's funny that I'm just saying balls. I was like, oh, God. But I wanted to name it, like... Salt sack. Like, what the fuck? All the way around. And, he was just like, I don't want to burst your bubble, but that kind of sounds like you are talking about balls. I was like, what? Oh, like, super indignant. I was like, God, stop being a creep. Like, get your head out of the gutter. And I was like, kind of thinking more about it. I was like,
I guess that makes sense.
Anyway, so I scrapped that, like, obviously back to ground zero, and I was driving to town, I was going to Walmart, and I had my iPod on shuffle, and I, as you maybe know, like, I fucking love Cor Blonde.
Yes.
Like, I've had to really, like, pump the brakes on this, because there was a period of time where I was just, like, I was running into this fucker everywhere, and it got, like, she's like, oh, hey, you, Only Long Rider I know came on, and there's a line in there, and I had a chance to tell him this, and he gave me a whole background on this song, where it's like, there's a whole Long Riders Guild, which is just, like, a society made of, like, men and women who have ridden, like, 8,000 miles or more on horseback.
Like, what? Jesus.
It's insane. It's a really cool backstory. story to this, but I was like, oh, cool. Like, all I heard was, like, saddle tramping. The world on the loose, like, stranger. And I was like, saddle tramp, that's it. It just kind of hits you like a bolt of lightning, and that's how it came to be. So, damn. Could have been salt sack, but luckily
it was salt sack. Could have been salt sack.
I love that. Core Blonde was kind of like where you turned the corner on that. I'd heard the last half of the story, but this just really rounds out the whole thing and like provides some really rich contouring to the whole narrative.
Yeah, a lot of depth.
Amazing.
Oh my god. Well, Brianne, thank you so much for talking to us today. I feel like we learned a hell of a lot, and people that are, you know, looking to get their start or find their own path, I think can find a lot of advice and just well wishes in this podcast of like somebody that's done it and done it well.
Still did it, still mucking it out.
Yeah, and it, like you said, nobody knows what the fuck they're doing.
Success is a journey and not a destination.
There we go.
Amen.
We appreciate your time, and we hope to see you very soon. I feel like it's been a long time coming.
Oh, you got a wedding.
Oh, my God. Is it in the mail?
No, I got to get addresses. But I still haven't even saved the dates to my family. So,
I guess we'll wait for you to send it out to everyone
like,
else.
Not that we're asking to be ahead of them on any, like, hypothetical priority list, but.
I mean, honestly, half my family, I'd rather have you guys there, period, anyway. Like, just trust me.
Like you said, if there's a barn to burn, we'll burn it. So.
That's right.
To the ground.
Well, thank you guys for listening to another episode of the Breaking Western Podcast. If you like what you heard today, make sure to go check out Brianne at Saddle Tramp. Is it Saddle Tramp Brand? I guess I don't know what your handle is.
Yeah, it's Saddle Tramp Brand on Instagram and then SaddleTrampBrand.com, and I don't fuck with any other social media.
No, she there don't. It is. No, she don't.
There it is. So go order your peacock feather earrings, ooh, your flamingolos. Did I say that right?
Yeah,
flamingolos.
Get you some lightning bolts. Those are my favorite.
Ooh, those are good. I saw those. Those are really good. Shit. All right, you guys. Thank you so much for listening. This is the end of season one of the Breaking Western Podcast. Fucking A, Abby. We'll see y'all next time when we're here for season two for the real influence within the Western industry, not just within fashion, but within how we're looking at the industry as a whole. Thank you all so much for listening. We'll catch you in season two.